350 days till Christmas. Just so you know. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. When we all say we're going to do something, we never do it, so we feel guilty. You know, what's so funny is I always ask the Lord, you know, what's on his heart. And what we're going to talk about today is Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice I didn't say the Holy Spirit. Here's what's so funny. Watch this. This is really important. We know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, right? So we have this respect for God for giving us Jesus. We obviously have this respect for Jesus for doing what He did for us on the cross. But then we kind of stop there. But I don't know if you remember, Jesus said, listen, I've got to get out of here so that I can send the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make something extremely clear to you. The only thing on this earth that we have is the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. Look, I'm not trying to mess up your theology, nor am I trying to say you can't pray any differently. What I'm saying is, it's very clear that the Holy Spirit resides here in us, and so I this is one thing I just think that we need to really start understanding, because forever we've kind of made Him spooky, right? More like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I mean, let's be honest. Am I the only one? Okay, just want to make sure. That's why you're going to hear me say Holy Spirit rather than the Holy Spirit. We don't say the Jesus. Now, we do say the Christ. Notice the difference, because Christ means Messiah. So it just sounds weird to say, so like you don't say, the John, so good to see you today, the John, and the Lindy, the Lindy's here, right? So, and we've always called the Holy Spirit it. We've always asked Him to come in songs, Holy Spirit, come, He's here. And there's where the theology I want to help you with. I want to show you extremely clear in the Word. This will be a general thing, and we'll probably hang here for a while. This, you can throw this still in with the thoughts of revisiting the familiar, because we're familiar. And then what's so ironic too is then you have this battle in denominations of the Holy Spirit and the dunamis power that the Holy Spirit gave on the day of Pentecost. You even have people saying that's not for today and stuff. And I'm like, He is here. Good night, man. How in the world can you have the audacity to don't tell me you believe in the Word and you just throw that side of it out. Stop. Now, whether you don't understand it, whether you don't feel the... I mean, come on, the only people that are bashing on being filled with the Holy Spirit are those that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, you're pushing it today. Yes, I am. Happy New Year, 2019. So here's what I want you to understand, guys. In the Old Testament alone, the word Spirit, talking about the Spirit of God. Now remember, it's very clear in Scripture of that there is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest places to see that is actually in the New Testament, where Jesus was being baptized. You remember it? Jesus was being baptized. The Bible says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came down looking like a dove, and then God spoke. So there's all three of them together. Do you get it? All right. Because you're going to have people have that argument too. It's just, I just kind of view Him as the God family. You get it? There's Steve Van Zandt, there's Gay Van Zandt, there's Jake Van Zandt, there's Charity Now Evans, but she was Van Zandt. You get it? And so I think what happens is we get uncomfortable with something, so we just want to run. Well, it's time to stop running. Anyway, in the Old Testament alone, 378 times the Spirit is spoken of. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, 385 times the Spirit. The first time, watch this, the first time in the Bible it's shown is just happens to be Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. Look, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit, ruach, you have to spit at it. In Texan it would be ruach. All right? So this is the ruach of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. That's the first time it's shown in Scripture. The last time it's shown in Scripture just happens to be Revelation chapter 22, which is the last chapter of the book. And it says the Spirit. Now, why is it pneuma instead of ruach? Because we're in the Greek now. We're not in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word is that. In fact, the guys that did the Septuagint Greek scholars, that's a big words and stuff. The bottom line is they had to obviously translate what was in Hebrew into Greek, and that's the word they used in, you get it. Okay, we're going to sing. And so the Spirit, the pneuma, and the bride say, come. Let anybody who hears this say, come. Let anyone who's thirsty say, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. And then five scriptures later, that book ends. So from Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit of God is prevalent. You see what I'm saying? But I want to bring it home, so I actually wrote this little ditty. So here you go. Here it is. The Holy Spirit, I say the, see, I've got a habit of saying that. Holy Spirit has a personality. He gives joy. This is all by Scripture, by the way. I just didn't want to bore you with putting it in there. He gives joy. He teaches. He testifies of Jesus. Those times in us where we're feeling, this is the Holy Spirit, the living God that lives in us. You get it? So he teaches us. He testifies to Jesus. He reveals truth. He strengthens. He encourages. He comforts. He helps us in our weakness. He intervenes for us when we don't know what to pray. He frees us from the guilt of sin. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit. Him. He. Crazy, but true. And again, we'll get to these scriptures probably over the next 87 weeks, but we'll get there. But he frees us from the guilt of sin. He gives us wisdom. He gives gifts. And I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit, because he gives those too. But he gives gifts. He's the one that is doling out the gifts that everybody in Christendom wants to have a gift so they can be important. He's the one that does this, man. He gives wisdom. He gives gifts. He gives guidance. He loves us. The word's very clear that the Holy Spirit, he loves us. The Holy Spirit, he does. Not just Jesus, not just God, he does. And Jesus, do you not see how important he is? When Jesus said, I've got to go so I can send him. Listen, if Jesus was still on this earth, we would only have access to him by finding him. Now, Holy Spirit resides in us. Ah. So he gives us power. Watch this. The gifts of the Holy Spirit grow from his being. You know, we're always talking about, I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I do. But what we need to understand is they're produced in him. He's the tree. So it's from him, and we don't have to go, he's in me. So it's available. And then, of course, the gifts of this Holy Spirit from his being, and he lives inside me. And he lives inside you. If you've accepted Christ and believed that Jesus did what he said, and you've asked him to be a part of your life, he resides in you. It really is that simple. And I'm doing a kind of a basic thing today. What I want you to understand, and I've already made it kind of clear, is he's the only source we have on earth. Yes, we have access to the heavenlies. Yes, I understand Scripture. Yes, you go into Ephesians 1 and 2, and it talks about Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and that we're there with him in spirit. But while we're still dealing on this earth, the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, resides in us. And for years, I was in a denomination, and I was taught that the Holy Spirit didn't reside in you. You had to speak in tongues, and then he would somehow show up. Because I didn't read the Bible for myself. I just listened to, So don't believe me, by the way, everything I'm telling you. Don't believe me. Stop it. Go find it. Dig it out. I'll help you with that. If you want me to, I can show you scriptures. So, here's what I want you to see. This is really cool. We're going back to Genesis in the beginning of time. It's just going to be the second chapter this time. Now watch. This is the account of creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there was no people to cultivate the soil. Get it? Isn't that funny? Soil has to be cultivated by people. That's why that sign's up there. You are now entering the harvest field when you leave here, not in here. Stop watering inside. You'll flood. I'll tell you what I tell the police department and fire department. when I see a gather of a group of them, I look at them, I say, you guys are just like manure. Stacked all in one spot, you stink. But when you spread yourself out in the community and stuff, man, stuff grows. I had a little Chihuahua dog, man. I should have sold her manure. That little dog would go outside and she'd poop right over. Sorry, I guess I can say that. I don't even know what's correct anymore. And she'd put a little spot there, right? So it looks like my grass was spotted because there would be these little huge green spots all over and the rest of it was just regular green or brown, right? People are like, man, you're, you know, it's like if I had a bigger Chihuahua, we could spread that out. I got way off whatever I'm talking about. So neither wild plants nor it's because I got stuck on there are no people to cultivate the soil. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we're on earth, is so that we can help do that. Here we go. Next. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. So watch. Then the Lord God formed man, Adam. Now, he obviously this was his name too. But this word, Adam, is the word Adam, is how you say it in the original language. That is mankind. But in this particular case, it's about man because woman had not been created. You got it. So the Lord, and then from the dust, which by the way, the word dust means dust. Just put it up there. The reason I put it up there is show you the difference between that and the word ground. So from the dust of the ground, look at the base word, Adama. So God is going to take this dirt and do something weird. So he took the ground and he breathed the breath, which literally means just a can be a short or long blow. He breathed the breath of life being this particular word literally means like a vegetation and green growth and you know, like really and truly it's a swamp as opposed to the desert. You know, we all hate the swamp, but you get what I'm saying. And it says into the man's nostrils, and that's exactly what that word means. So God, watch, blew in the man's nostrils, and the man became a living nephesh. That includes getting an appetite. That includes all of life, your emotions, your everything. So he became a living being. Now, let me get right over here. Where he throws that breath in, I'll get there in a second. Let me just stay right here. Without the breath of God, man was just an empty shell. In other words, God formed man out of this dirt thing, but he was just a claymation, if you will. That's old school. Nobody know what claymation is. Y'all remember Davy and Goliath? Do you? For real? All right. That was claymation. Or the Dancing Raisins from California? Yeah, remember them? They don't do claymation anymore, but that was claymation. I'm probably not dancing like them, but it feels good. I feel like I'm getting a little exercise. It's all good. Y'all stand by with me. Okay. So watch. God's breath made man an eternal spirit being. God's breath made man the creation that he was intended to be. Here's what happened. Watch. Adam, through his own selfish choices, brought sin into the world. So throughout the ages, God provided a way for his breath, his breathed creation, to be redeemed and brought back into his favor. So, as you all, most of you should know, in the Old Testament, the lamb was sacrificed and mankind was pardoned, but then the man continued to sin and the lambs continued to be sacrificed. So God provided the once and for all sacrifice of his son, Jesus. So Jesus came because mankind needed the new breath from God. Amen? So then we fast forward to Jesus, and you got Jesus had been brutally killed on that Friday that we all know of, Easter, so it's now Sunday. So this is the scenario of the scripture I'm fixing to read for you. So you need to understand, he's just been killed, and everybody, mostly his disciples especially, thought that he was going to fix everything and become the new, take over this Roman government that had consumed them, and he was going to be the king. And now this guy they followed, though he had told them it was going to happen, he had died. So can you imagine the thoughts of the disciples on the Saturday before the Sunday that he showed up? You know, they killed him. They're going to kill us too. They were hiding, the Bible says. Well, why were they hiding? Because they just killed their leader. You don't think they're wanting to kill me too? And they were confused that he died, even though he'd been very clear about it. But then here's the scenario. That Sunday evening, the disciples, so that would be Easter Sunday night, just so you know. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. Again, they're scared because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. And the first words out of his mouth were, "Peace be with you," he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Now look at this. Is there not more to that? Thank you. And again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Interesting. Then he breathed on them. Love that word. You know what that, does that not first thing you think of is emphysema? That's the root word, just so you know. He breathed on them. And again, that is, well, let me just stay here. On them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," pneuma. And if you, watch this, and this has always confused people. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. But if you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Now, we immediately think that gives us some kind of power concerning forgiveness. That is not talking about the forgiveness of Jesus that was all done on the cross. That is talking about, watch, let's do it right. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven as far as you are concerned. It eats you up. That's why bitterness is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die. You get it. That's what this is talking about. This isn't, and why in the world we get this understanding that, oh man, so if I don't forgive them, they're not going to be forgiven. Really, really. So what Jesus did on the cross didn't work for them? Good try. We kind of hope that for a lot of folks, don't we? So here's what I want you to see. This word breathed is used only one time in the New Testament, and that's right here. And it's the word from Genesis 2:7 we just read, where the Spirit of God blew life into mankind. So here Jesus comes, again, it's the Septuagint translators that use this from that Genesis. But watch, Jesus breathed into them Holy Spirit, pneuma, life, the power to forgive. And again, they're not, that forgiveness is not about retaining, where you're retaining the sin is the sin that you have for not forgiving. So God's breath, Holy Spirit, let's be here, let's be real, this is the Godhead. Holy Spirit, what does that pneuma mean? Same thing, it's all about wind and breath, and you get it. So God breathed into Adam to equip him to live for life, right? Jesus breathed into his disciples to equip them with the power for life. See, now that that life resides in them, Jesus walked on this earth, and listen, he was just as much human as he was God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is he experienced life as a human being too. So he had to be learning his own lessons out of it, and I'm sure he realized the power of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, if you'll read Scripture, he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was the only one here. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew exactly the power. His brother, or whatever you want to call Holy Spirit, was in him. And in the Old Testament, though, all those times he talked about the Holy Spirit, the Bible said the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and then they'd start prophesying. Come upon them, and they'd start prophesying. Then Jesus comes in and flips everybody out and breathes. And this is prior to Pentecost. This is before the Pentecost thing. That's the cooler thing, too. But he breathed into them. How sweet is that? So God's breath into Adam equipped him for life. Jesus' breath into the disciples equipped them to power life. For too long, We have been going through the motions, attempting to do things under our own power. Okay? This is first of the year stuff, man. I'm bringing you new life. For too long, we've run ourselves ragged, trying to please God in our own strength. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That's powerful. So, here's how the Apostle Paul dealt with it with the Galatian church. He says, let me ask you a question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You receive Spirit because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Until you believe what Christ did on the cross, you can't accept something you don't believe. How foolish can you be? Are you starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? He said, after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Especially when Holy Spirit lives in you. He lives in you. He's not against you. He is for you. He's not the one telling you how bad you are. That's the enemy. Learn the voices. And you know how you learn the voices? Well, you start listening to him more than you listen to the enemy. Isn't it funny how we know the enemy's voice better than we know God's voice? You get it? Some of you, I don't know. If you, sir, don't know you at all, if you call me on the phone, right? You tell me your name and I'd say, hey, who are you? You know, get what I'm saying? But if my wife calls me, I just know her ringtone. You're my sugar pie, honey bunch, sugar buzz, buddy buzz, and you are. That really is her ringtone. But I answer and I know, hey, what? Because I know the voice. Holy Spirit lives in you. Do you hear me? He lives in you. You have every bit of access to. He has every bit of access to you. The next time you're wanting to do something stupid, recognize he's in you. You get it. He's in you. Not against you. He's in you. He's for you. He's not to convict you. The Word says he came to convict the world. He convicts us of righteousness. In other words, he convicts us of believing what Christ did for us on the cross is true. And when you walk in that, you will be set free from all the stupid that you do. Man, that's a rap song too. I wish, what's his name? Jalen was here so he could get started on that one. But no, he's got to have this 9-pound baby. Takes full credit for it, throws a face up on Facebook. She's the one that went through all the pain and stuff. What's up with that, girls? Huh? Just want you to know, guys know pain too. Just saying. Yeah, not 9 months of it, but we know. Hit us once and it's over, but you got to get it. Wow, that's right here in my notes, just so you know. Let's stay on here. I'm staying right on. So how foolish can we be after starting your... Listen, when we first came to know Jesus, isn't it true? We first came to know Christ, asked him into our life. We didn't even recognize it, but Holy Spirit started residing in us, and life was cool and good, and everything was good and great, and then all these other people's opinions started coming at us, how we're supposed to do life and be a Christian and all that, and then all of a sudden we become just as grumpy as them. Recognize Holy Spirit is in you. Oh, man. There is really, really power in that. I've been having this whole week because I've been doing this whole study, this whole conversation. I've shifted my conversation, if that sounds weird. Because, you know, and I don't, it's not going to hurt God's feelings. But what I'm saying is, you know, because I'm always talking to Jesus, I'm talking to God. But I just had this, the Holy Spirit's in me. So I started talking to the Holy Spirit, and actually I realized that's the voice of Jesus. But no, it can't be. Well, listen, Jesus is in a body. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. He's ever interceding for us. He knows everything. He does everything and all that. I get it. But I want to reemphasize to you, what we have on this earth is powerful, and he lives in me. I don't got to beg him to come help me. Do you hear me? He lives in me. So when I'm struggling with some kind of health issue, rather than me going, oh, Jesus, I now am learning, Holy Spirit, come on, man, help me here. You, yes, you sir. Yes, oh yes, you are in there. Yeah, oh, even among, oh, I know there's some dirt. That's good. We'll get there. We're getting there. Oh, he loves us. I have a ton of scripture. Again, this is an overview, trying to be. So after starting your lives in the Spirit, why are you trying to become perfect in your own human effort? Next. Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it wasn't in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obeyed the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message that you heard about Christ, because Christ did that all on the cross. And then he said, I've got to go to the Father, but I am going to send you the Comforter, the Advocate, the one who loves you deeply. He is me. I am him. It is part. He is God. Holy Spirit is God as much as Jesus is God, as much as God is God. That's hard for us because we've been had our brains tweaked from it. It's true. You can worship Holy Spirit. Oh my, you're blaspheming me. No, I'm not. Stop it. It's true. The depth of the love that Christ has for me lives in me. Do you get it? That love that I keep telling you, man, you got to start receiving it. It's in there. But you have to believe it to receive it. Well, that's, if you believe it, you receive it. If you doubt it, you do without it. If you cast your bread out on the water, brother, it'll come back buttered. Oh. So, I'm heading to my conclusion, which I don't have to worry about. Cowboys don't start to what? Next Saturday, maybe. I don't know. For you Cowboy fans, I saw your Facebook. I wish you would post on Facebook that much when Jesus does something, but I get it. I get it. Holy smoke, man. There for a while, I was ready to, how great thou art! How great thou art! Dak in the defense and the... I started to put a meme on, but I didn't. There's a meme that says, I love you. I love you more than the Cowboys. And then under it says, not really. I probably should have posted that. But I actually have Facebook friends that are actually real friends that are not Cowboy fans, so I think I need to learn to hate them. Because that's the way we're supposed to do it now. Right? How dare you? You're just a bandwagon fan. You get that all the time, too. I have two favorite football teams, the Dallas Cowboys and anybody who plays the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's my two. So you can be a fan of anybody. Just don't do the Steeler thing on me. All right, sorry. That is so, Holy Spirit in me just said, are you kidding? Are you kidding? And I'm like, look, you've been in there a while. You kind of know. So here we go. Heading towards my conclusion right here. God breathed life into mankind. Jesus breathed life into the disciples, which is the essence of true salvation. Now, here we go. We all know John 3:16, but we're going to go into John 3:1 to 8 right before it. So there's this guy named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark one evening, because he was scared because he was going to get kicked out of being a Pharisee if they had found out he was going to talk to this wacko Jesus. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, rabbi means teacher. We all know that God sent you to teach us. He should have said, I know that God sent you to teach us, because all his we-alls were all, listen, man, they killed him, actually. We all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Well, what do you mean, said Nicodemus? How can an old man like me, if you read it in the original, that's kind of what it would say, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Duh. I get it. And Jesus said, I assure you, watch, this is important, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and of the Spirit. Now let's stop right there. What is he saying? And he explains it, but I want to explain it before he explains it. Born of the water is, like I said, we just had a baby. Jalen and Christian just had her baby. That's born of the water. Remember what happens, mamas? Y'all know that when your water breaks, that baby's coming, right? At some point in time, that baby's fixing to come. Whether it's fast, slow, it's not the point. The water. So that's what Jesus is saying. So you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that he's going to leave here for us, in us. Get it? This isn't a different spirit. So, verse 6, humans can reproduce only human life. Hear that deeply in your spirit. You can't fix you. You can't. What he's saying is, all you can make that has life in it is a baby. So he says humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised, he said to Nicodemus, that I say you got to be born again. Because, you know, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it's coming or where it's going. So you can't explain to people how you're born of the Spirit. That is a hard explanation. That's why the Bible says people know by the word of your testimony. Your word of your testimony, it's your testimony that speaks life to people, not your understanding. And you got a lot of people trying to give the word to people and an understanding and let me fix you and help you because I've been to school to tell you. No, sir. It's by the word of our testimony. That's why John chapter 9 is so powerful. You know, they're all walking around doing their own little liturgical, doctrinal understanding of why this guy was healed on the Sabbath. And they're all fighting over it and stuff. And that's why the guy said, look, fellas, I don't know. I'm blind. I don't know who did it, why did it. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. That's the testimony that you have. Not how it happened. When I got people come in, they wanted to they always wanted to find something. You know, well, you're the preacher. You can answer this question. Yeah, go ahead. You know, act like you have a question. The truth is you're trying to put me on trial. I get it. So ask away. Well, you know, can God make a rock that he can't pick up? I'm like, what? Can God make a rock that he can't pick up? I said, he made you. You tell me. What do you mean? I don't know. What do you mean? But here's what I tell them. How many angels can sit on the head of a pin? I've had this one. I'm not kidding you, John. Well, it depends on how fat they are, sir. You know what I tell them? I don't know. I don't have. Can I help you with something? You're going to reach more people by saying you don't have the answers. You hear me? You're going to reach more people by the fact that you don't have all. Because I don't. I've been doing this a long time. I've known Jesus a long time. I don't have all the answers. But what I do know is I was a 90-pound drug addict and hated by everybody, especially church people. And then one day, I ran into somebody who loved me right where I was. Amen. And ain't a human being can do that. Ain't a human being. You know what? So you can have your eschatology and all your stuff all stacked up on high. All I know is, once I was blind, but now I see. Amen. And it's real. I tell people, like, man, why do you do what you do? Because it's real. I could go make real money somewhere, but that's not I'm not a shoe salesman here, although I am into souls. You had to have loved that one right there. That is, now see, I almost said that's my gay joke, but then people go, oh, yeah, I'm offended. My wife's name is gay. But she loves those kind of puns. I absolutely hate them. However, you got to admit, I sent them to you. Oh, man, see? Oh, groan. Ouch. Ugh. This is. You remember when the Apostle Paul talked about the thorn in the side? That is it. Oh, no, not another one. Oh, gay, please. Okay, I give up. Heal. I get it. Holy smoke. Holy Spirit. Holy smoke. I get it, loafer. Yeah, okay, well, let's go through them all. Let's talk about thongs, but we won't go there because remember, that's Howard Stern stuff. I get it. Flip-flopping. Oh, man. Listen, we are on it. Yes. Now, see, now I'm trying. Here I am, anointed of God, trying to speak wisdom upon the congregation, and now I'm looking for puns in my brain to throw back at her. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us all. And I got off on that. Why? I don't need testimony. Oh, yes, because that's the truth. Because finally, we found some truth in all of this. So don't be surprised when I say he was born again, the very bottom. So you can explain how people, this is why, stop, Steve, slow down. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going, so you can't explain how you're born, and that's what I'm saying. There's no words to explain, but here's what's so cool. Your testimony is loud even when you don't speak it. How many times have you not ever had anybody that they just come up to you a little bit later and go, man, I don't know why you're so happy, but that's cool. You know, you're in a good mood. And, you know, you don't go, oh, it's because of Jesus Christ. Are you born again? You use tobacco in any form. Here, take what you need, brother. You know, it's not that at all. Be real with folks, man. They see it. They see it. They see him in you. And when I say him, it's not Jesus is necessary. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Let him leak. And he will leak in an awesome way. But it's not because of the great words that you have to say. It's because of the great life that you live. Man, love somebody you didn't love before, they're going to freak totally out. They're going to think you... That's why at the day of Pentecost, that's why Peter had to stand up and say, hey, man, we're not drunk like you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because all of a sudden they're happy, man. Isn't it funny? Happy, joyous, actually joy. Joy is a key to life. And I'm going to stay here because Holy Spirit brings joy. And that's joy. It doesn't matter what circumstances are, man. Joy hangs in there. Joy is when people come and say, man, you ain't dealing with nothing. You going through all this, you just faking it. Like, fake you, faking it, faking it. Yeah, I'm faking it. Sorry, I'm not going to be as grumpy as you, ma'am or sir. I keep looking at people. And sorry, I'm not going to be as grumpy as you. No. That's why. People have asked me before, when you speak, why do you always look over top of the heads? Because you don't want to do that to somebody. You know, and Mary Magdalene, they say she was a prostitute. You know, it's like, oh, whoa, no, never mind. Sorry, I've moved into stand-up today. I apologize. I apologize that I have life. Life, the word life, man, in the Greek is so different than che, that word che, chai, however you say it. In the original language, the word in the New Testament is zoe, and that is life. That is incorporated in every angle of who you are. That's in your happy mode, your sad mode, your crying mode. That is that mode where I was when I was a drug addict. I had my dog that the guy killed, and I loved my dog, and my dog was really my God, because no matter what kind of mood I was in, that dog was always wagging his tail, man. I could be screaming at him, you stupid dog, you on the carpet again. Or I could be happy, oh, the Cowboys just won. He'd be all happy. I could be totally drug messed up saying, dude, you are just, get out. Man, Holy Spirit in you, your day can be that day, not just a day, not just for an hour. Listen, anytime you get a little frustrated, just stop. Holy Spirit, you're in me. I want to recognize you. I see you. You love me. You are my advocate. That means he's your defense lawyer. So when you hear accusations, stop saying that's him convicting you. That's baloney. He does not do that. He convicts the world. Yes, he convicts the world of where the... But it's us, he says, stop. Look what Jesus did for you on the cross. Had he not only done that for you on the cross, even after he was risen from the dead, had he stayed here, we wouldn't have Holy Spirit. He said, man, I got to go so nobody has to seek me no more. Now they can heal. I want to reside in you. So Jesus is in you. God is in you. Let me just put it that way. Because again, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So let's just leave it with God. That way you'll get it. God, Spirit, God is in you. It's all because Jesus breathed. Okay. I really think I'm close here. Yeah, go. I already went to the next page. Here it is. Yes. Last scripture and I'm finished. This is in Titus, watch. Once we, too, were foolish and disobedient, and we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Anybody get this right now? And our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. And he said that just once, not now, but once. That's where we were. He says, but, verse 4, when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. Now look, this is important. He washed away my sins, giving me new birth and new life through who? Holy Spirit. Well, and he gives Christ credit. Get what I'm saying? He says, new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out this Spirit upon us through Jesus, our Savior. You get, but let that reside in you. I'm telling you, man. When people frustrate you, when people aggravate you, just for a split second say, Holy Spirit, I know you're in there right now. I think my ugly has risen up above you. Yeah, I'm hearing my ugly. Holy Spirit, and you know what? He's not going to say, oh, you idiot, you stupid. He just loves you. He's going to say, man, just remember what Jesus did on the cross for you. Remember the goodness of God. Remember that I brought you into this world. I can take you out. No. But the reason that's funny to me is it's true. It was his breath that blew life into Adam. And when we die, when that breath was blown into Adam, that was eternal breath, no matter what our choices are. So when we die, this body dies, it just becomes an empty shell again. That's why the word says, dust to dust. We start as a lump of dirt. We end as a lump of dirt. On the end time, in the middle, is the Holy Spirit of God that has breathed life into us. If we've accepted Christ, he lives in us to do wonders through, in and through us. The miracle that you are looking for lies within you. Hear me. He's got a name. And his name is Holy Spirit. Pneuma. You know all the words that connect with that. Spirit. It incorporates wind. It whatever. However, what I'm trying to get you to do is, again, I had this conversation yesterday. We have reached a point in this country where we animate other people. And what I mean by that is we hear and understand that they did something evil. So we take that and we put that on them and we make them a caricature of who they probably really are. And once you get to know, and we've had this experience just recently, once you get to know somebody, you realize that's not what everybody else was saying they are. So we tend to animate instead of investigate and find out the truth. That's what I love about the Holy Spirit. He searches us. That's exactly what the word says. He searches our hearts and he knows our motives. But when we allow him to become a real part of us, again, there is every bit of power you need. You don't have to beg God to it resides in you. I'm going to reiterate the scripture again till you get it. The same Spirit that raised the Son of God from the dead. That means the man side of Jesus was dead. You get it? So Jesus probably, as Jesus, could have maybe raised up. No, it was the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead resides in you. It's the same Spirit that now that you believe in Jesus, and you used to be this horrible, terrible person or whatever, but now you believe in Jesus, that same Spirit has all the other parts of the package in there for you. And again, the love, the joy, the peace. You're not going to find that anywhere but inside you, because Holy Spirit lives inside you. So you know, oh God, give me patience. No, Holy Spirit, give me patience. And don't do that. Unless you mean it, because don't ask for patience. It doesn't work. One day, and I didn't realize, I thought I was talking to God, but it's Holy Spirit in me. Again, they don't get confused. We do. You get it. And like I tell people all the time, because they'll say, well, who do I pray to? Just pray to God, because you'll hit one of them. You know what I'm saying? If me and, I've told you this before, if me and Gay and Jake are walking down the street, and somebody yells, Steve, I'll turn around. But if somebody yells, Van Zandt, all three of us will turn around. Just say God. So whoever's supposed to show up will show up if you got to do that way in your brain. But what was I just saying? It was going to be important. See, what'd you say? See, I think I have somebody who's actually listening. Same power, same spirit, raised Christ from the dead, lives in us. How many times, how many angles we got to say that? But you don't have to go outside of that. You don't have to go outside of that. He lives in us. And it really is about the belief system. And we've talked about that a million times. Did I finish this even? No, I didn't. So verse 5, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth, new life through the Spirit. I did finish this, sorry. And he generously pours out the Spirit upon us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God. It's deeper than we realize. Thank God that everything that we need resides in us. That's it, man. That's it. I'm finished, Mrs. Van Zandt.
This is a good word. Yes. Mm. We need to understand.
I'm staying there for a while, just so you know. I want to go deeper into him.
We need to understand what he's done for us so we can appropriate, so we can take it and use what he's provided for us. And I know that there'll be people who'll say, well, you know, John 16:8 says, you know, that he convicts the world of sin. But you listen, here's the thing. The world of sin, that's about sinners, okay? The accuser comes to tell you what you do wrong, to separate you from the Lord, to get you to say, I'm not worthy. But he wants us. He wants us at all times. But if we believe that we are not worthy, we won't go near him. He's here. I can't. Because the word says, don't forget, the word is the character of him who said it, and he's not a rejecter. And I want to just share with you quickly this. I'll actually like how the King James says it. It says, refute the world of sin. To say, guys, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. No, you have inside of you a sweet spirit of God. Did you ever say something and you see a look on somebody's face and you go, oh, gosh, I wish I hadn't said that. That's the Spirit of God showing you what is right and what is wrong. You have that ability. But it's not to convict you to a prison sentence. It's to just say, pick it up and do better. You with me on that? You have the logic ability. And I love this. My dad used to be able to see things in people, and he could, and I'd be like, but Mom, you said Dad's not a Christian. He didn't go to church. And she said, Gay, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. There's going to be people who are going to have the ability to speak and say things because God's put it in them. Whether they serve Christ or not, look at the artists, look at the musicians who have these gifts and callings that they're using. They're meant to be used for God. But he's still going to let them have it because he put it in them. What I need to do is let God breathe life in me and let my gifts and my talents come to fullness so that others might know and see who he is. That's the purpose. Would you stand with me today? Every one of you in here, Ashley, honey, please don't leave me without sugar in me, but everybody in here has a special gift or talent. Some of you are able to go in and organize a room, and people want to pay you for that and put you there and make you think that's your only ability. But maybe you can organize because you can see even in people who works together better and align people to get some work and some jobs done for the kingdom. Don't let people put your gift or talent in one thing based on what your paycheck is. Let God open up your mind to see the possibility, because every one of you in here can speak a word of life, and this world is so dry from life being taken out that we could begin to speak and put life in. Don't decide if somebody deserves it. Give it the way you got it. But we have that ability. Speak life. Breathe life. Take it in. And that's what I want us to do right now. I just want you to take a big deep breath. Let's just do it again. Didn't that feel good? You know, science proves God. Science proves God. Sat with a neurologist with Steve's mom, and I heard him tell her, when you feel your blood pressure getting high, listen with spiritual ears. I want you to be sure your feet are stable on the floor, and I want you to just take some big, deep breaths and take it in and take it out, and it'll cause your blood pressure to lower. And I'm thinking the whole time, you guys, you need to pay somebody for the Bible. I mean, like, really. Right? Because breathe in his life, and breathe out that stagnancy that puts the pressure on me. Lord, today we just breathe in your life. Holy Spirit, breathe in me. Let that spirit, you resurrect those places in me. I can't restore it. I can't renew it. I can't make it happen. But I choose to trust you to do this work in me today. Can you say that with me? I choose you today to do this work in me. Holy Spirit, breathe in me. Resurrect me. Cause life to come forth. I just thank you for that, Father, right now. I thank you for that right now. And I just rebuke out of your mind right now the thought, but you don't know me. Let me tell you who does know you. Let me tell you who is standing with you. Let me tell you who's seen and heard everything and still welcomed the betrayer to sit at the table and wash his feet. Let me tell you, he is ready to redeem, renew, and restore you. Stop trying to do it yourself and let him cleanse you. Let him cleanse you today. We receive it today, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. And when